Reading from Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. And also Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, March 21st, 2023. And I have two new friends in the studio with me, Bob and Barb Van Wyk. And I appreciate you two coming in. And I know you're busy in the country raising funds, raising awareness, pointing people to Jesus, encouraging people to take an interest in children. And we're going to talk about this great ministry you're involved in. In fact, I think one of the seals of an endorsement came from my board chairman, Huey Freeman. He said, "Mark, they so motivated me, I want to go to Africa and serve." And, you know, he has a real heart for children. He's a school teacher now. But C.J. Sizemore, our singing man manager, also said, "Yes, you want to interview those two." So I'm going to ask you two to give a little introduction to yourselves. I have a lot of things written in front of me, but everyone knows that I might spend 8 minutes talking about you two, and they would say, "Mark, let them share." So what would you want our listeners to know about yourselves and the ministry that God has called you to, a ministry that really has surprised you?
Yeah, it has in a lot of ways. You know, when you talk about a call to serve in Africa, for me, that came when I was a child, and we can talk about that in a few minutes too. And it came much later for Bob, but the Lord brought us there and turned our hearts towards kids. And for the last 12 years, we have been resourcing pastors and leaders to work with boys and girls, and started in the local churches for Sunday school teachers, training them and equipping them with contextualized curriculum that they can use in the most remote village, nothing fancy required. You know, Jesus taught with stories and things he found in nature. That's how our curriculum is for African people who work with children. But then he opened this amazing door into the primary schools. And my goodness, have we seen God transform the lives of students, teachers, principals, and entire campuses.
And you're doing something that you would have never felt like God would have necessarily primarily led you towards with children. I mean, you had a heart for people knowing Jesus, and you loved to share your faith. But what stirred you to have this emphasis on children? Or it just kind of fell into your lap? Or was it God's providence to say, "Yes, I'm going to get you to Africa, but this is how you're going to serve me"? Maybe different than what you initially thought.
Yeah, well, Mark, I was a school teacher. I was a public school teacher for 20 years, first 20 years of my career. But I never saw this coming. I pastored for 8 years after that. And when we went to Africa, our purpose was to plant extension Bible colleges in the rural areas of Africa. But when we got there, literally within months of landing, I just had this strong desire to pastor a church. Now, we don't go to Africa to pastor. We go to train and equip leaders. Mm-hmm. That's why we're doing the Bible school. So we just chalked it up to culture shock, being on a new continent, not understanding our role completely. Mm-hmm. And a couple months into that, the leader of the national church in Botswana called me, and he said, "We have a church about 20 minutes from you. They've just lost their pastor. We don't have someone to take his position. Would you consider pastoring this church for a year until we have someone trained?" And so we agreed. I knew then that stirring that I'd been feeling was for this church.
And there's about 250 members at this point?
Exactly. He said, "There's 250 people there. We don't want to close it." But the Sunday we walked into that church, there were definitely 250 people there, but 200 of them were under the age of 15. And so that changed our whole trajectory of ministry in the church, because obviously we need to be reaching these children. And we found out very quickly the deficits in their education of children, or even in their discipleship of children. And so we're teaching them and training the leaders how to work with the children and do it in a way that, well, we call it the international language of children, which is fun. Children love to have fun. And so you're still presenting the gospel, but you do it in a way that children enjoy. And I'm telling you, we saw the children thriving. But when our time there at that church came to a close, then the other pastors of the country were coming to us and saying, what you did in your church, we need that in our church. Yeah. And that's how the Lord used that then to shift our focus and train and equip leaders for children specifically.
Now, Barb, what was the calling behind getting you guys to Africa and some of your faith journey? I would be interested in knowing what brought you to the Lord originally.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing adventure. And I just find life in Christ, it's an adventure. Mm-hmm. If you just give him your whole heart, earlier in life you do that, the better the adventure unfolds. Yeah. So for me, I had the pleasure and the privilege of being born to Christian parents, raised in a godly home. When I was 12 years old, I was at kids camp, heard a missionary speak, a single missionary, and she was serving in Japan, but she just shared about that. And somehow in my heart, I just felt like I'm going to be a missionary someday. And so that never left me. I can still go right back to that campfire at that camp in rural Minnesota. And then so I just knew, I kept that in my heart. And when I graduated from high school, I looked at a couple public universities, but I just felt the call to ministry. That's where I needed to go. I needed to train for ministry, and I did that. Africa seemed like the continent of my calling, but I was scared of Africa because all I knew about it was what I saw on National Geographic, or, you know, what missionaries would come through and say, snakes and deadly diseases and mud huts, and I'm just not that girl. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know. But as the Lord would have it, coming through those 4 years of undergraduate work, my best friends were missionary kids. Hmm. Many of them grew up on the continent, loved Africa, and couldn't wait to get back there. I'm like, oh, it must not be so scary. And every time I heard a missionary speak in chapel, every time the call went out, we need laborers for the harvest field, my heart would just burn. That fire just kept burning. So that's how the call came for me.
And then, Bob, when did you meet up with Barb? And did you both have that missionary vision early on in your marriage? And how long did it take to fruition where you actually went to Africa and maybe other places?
Yeah, actually, when we initially met, I did not have that call. And so we decided at that point we were going to separate. I mean, we weren't even together. We were just friends, just acquaintances, but we knew that there was a spark there, but we said, let's not pursue this. You're going to Africa. I don't have that call. And I was perfectly fine with that. I just accepted the Lord 3 years earlier. It had been a major transformation. Truthfully, in my heart, I didn't think I was going to get married, and I was perfectly happy with that. But then I was in my prayer closet on a Tuesday morning. It was several weeks before school started. And the Holy Spirit comes to me and he says, Bob, you've never asked the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers for the harvest field. And, well, I didn't have any problem with that. So I prayed that prayer and I was going to continue to move on. But in that moment, all I can say is the manifest presence of God filled that room. And the only time I've heard God's audible voice was that moment. But it was like you, Mark, talking to me. And he said, Bob, will you be my missionary to Africa? And it was that clear. And that changed everything.
Now, Bob, I'm going to just ask for some clarity because I know we have a lot of listeners tuning in, some well along in their faith journey, senior saints that have loved and served the Lord for their whole lives, to some that are just beginning their faith journey. But there's also some people, they're scanning the dial, they're looking for the next rock and roll song or whatever. They maybe haven't started the faith journey. And you said that the Holy Spirit came to you. So help them understand what it means to have a relationship with God. And you can jump in too, Barb. What does it mean for somebody to come to terms with the fact that they need a Savior, that Jesus is that Savior, and that they have that relationship when the Holy Spirit brings that knowledge to truth in their mind and heart, where they accept Jesus? And so for somebody, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit would be a part of your life?
So for me, I grew up in a religious home. It was a Christian home. But there was a lot of religion, meaning that you thought you were going to earn your salvation more through works than by the grace of God. Through grace, we've been saved through faith. But I was into ticking the boxes. I would sing in the choir. I went to church every time it was open. On the outside, I looked like I was doing all the right things, but there was still that emptiness and that void. Mm-hmm. And it was because I hadn't asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Mm-hmm. I had not surrendered my life to him. So I was looking through the Bible at what's the next box I need to tick off. But when I came to that point of emptiness in my life and I cried out to God, I said, God, if your promises are true, if you have life for me, I'm sorry for my sins. Mm-hmm. I know that I commit them. And I asked him into my heart. I said, I will live for you from this moment on. Mm-hmm.
And for you, Barb, it sounds like it was at that church camp around the age of 12. That happened to me too, where you recognized you needed Jesus.
No, that was my missionary call. Okay. I probably surrendered my life to Jesus when I was a preschooler because I was in Sunday school every week and they were always putting that out there. Who wants to ask Jesus into your heart? So as soon as I could understand that, and my mom was also a Good News Club leader. So mm-hmm. we always had Good News Club every week and she was always sharing the gospel with the neighborhood kids. So I got saved lots of times. Well, Jesus, I want you to live in my heart. Come in, forgive me of my sins. And then as I got older in my teens, I came to that maturity to understand that the very first time I said, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins. He did exactly that. Right. But I never disparage any child from raising their hand every time because I think it's just part of the journey. They just want Jesus. And that's what I think it all comes down to, that heart longing to be reconciled to God. That hole is in every human heart. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit, God is just working in each heart to bring people to himself. So every time someone wants to say, yes, God, forgive me my sins, that's what it is.
And so for the person that may say, but Barb, I've sinned so many years. I'm in my 50s, 60s, I'm in my 80s, and I just don't think God can forgive me. What would you say to them?
I would say he absolutely can, mm-hmm. and he will. And you know what? That thief that was crucified by Jesus on the cross that we're thinking of in this Lenten season as we move towards Easter, he had not one moment to do one thing right. And his dying moment, and all he said was, Lord, would you remember me when you come to your mm-hmm. kingdom? And that heart, that's all God is looking for, yeah. is a heart to say, God, I want you, I need you.
Hmm. God sent you to Africa some years ago. I think you've been serving there about 12 or so years now.
Correct.
Talk about the unique calling to reach children and how you've seen them at work. Because I want our listeners to not only capture that vision for you two and to be praying for you, but to maybe, and I think you said this earlier, Barb, you want people here in Central Illinois, people in West Central Indiana to capture the heart for the children here. So how can reaching children be manifested here in Africa or parts of the world? What are the ways that you're seeing God at work?
Well, let's go back to 2012 when we had the opportunity to interact with a pastor, Pastor Moyo, in his village that was just 30 miles from us. And we found out that he was working. He'd been invited by the school principals of that village to come and talk to the children because the primary schools in that village were the lowest academic performing in the region. There were 18 schools in the region. They measure them on their basic skills tests every year. They rank them. And these schools were failing. They were the worst. And one principal got desperate and just called Pastor Moyo and said, would you just come and talk to the kids and encourage them and pray for them? He said, absolutely. So he did that, Mark. You know what happened?
Grades got better.
Oh, my goodness. When those kids took those exams that year, when the results came out, they were number one. And the other principals heard, they could not believe what they were seeing. And they're like, you cheated. How did you get those results? That's not possible. She said, I just had Pastor Moyo come and talk to the kids and pray for them. And so then all those other schools said, Pastor, will you come? Will you come? So now he was doing six schools a week by himself. And he invited us to come and see what he was doing. And when we saw it and Bob said, hey, I'll take a school. He said, yeah, take your school. So that was one less he had to do every week. And we started to see that we had 10 minutes a week, Mark. That's what they allow. 10 minutes a week. You got 1,000 kids lined up in front of you. And we began to share the gospel and see it start to transform this village. And we thought, you know what? If this can happen in this village, this can happen, and it needs to happen all over Botswana. There's 805 primary schools. Perhaps God could use us to write a curriculum, to develop a program, and then train up God's people to be in the primary school near them And that's how the transformation started that we're seeing.
Now, I'm going to share this again at the end of the program, but I want to make sure it's told a couple different times. How can people get in touch with you? Obviously, there will be listeners that will be just be praying for you as God brings you to remembrance in their minds. But how can they get in touch with you and talk a little about your ministry?
They can give us a call at 515-724-1374. And that's 515-724-1374. Or you can hop over onto our website at AGM, as in Mary, D as in dog, .org/U. The letter U, / and then our last name, VANWYK. So that's agmd.org/U/VanWyk.
And we'll have that available if you want to call the station. Maybe you're driving to work and didn't get to write it down, or the phone number. Just call us at 217-367-7777. Well, I wrote down a couple of different things about having fun, because children like to have fun, and that's why I got drawn into the church. We used to play crab soccer, then it was volleyball and other games, and I always wanted to go to church, but then you'd hear a spiritual message. So talk about some of that curriculum you've developed or ways that you've seen God interest the children into spiritual things.
Yeah, well, the curriculum, it's a very simple curriculum. So we're going to choose a topic. It could be on bullying. It could be on working hard. It could be on acceptance. But we have over 50 different topics that we'll choose from. But I'll take a Bible story and just tell one Bible story. Then we will also follow that up with application. Why is this relevant to us today? How does God want us to respond to his truth today? And then we pray. And we do that all within 10 minutes. And the stories that come out of that are incredible.
But the thing about that Bible story is we always do it in a fun way. We use creative methods to tell that story. We never just read it.
No.
It's always either we have the kids doing actions with us. Whenever we say boat, they're swaying back and forth like they're on a boat. You know, so we just, they have actions, words they're listening for. Or we use pictures that we draw with emoji faces to tell a story. Or we'll have them act it out.
Yep.
So those fun ways, and that's brand new, Mark, in Africa, working with kids. They aren't used to having fun with kids and engaging them like that. All they're used to is lecture and exams by rote. So when we come in and we engage in that fun way, we've got them all, like, right there in our hands.
In case you just tuned in, we have Bob and Barb Van Wyk in the studio with me, and this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, and you can see a posting on our Facebook page also. But they have a heart for children really all over the world. But one thing you said earlier, Barb, that I appreciate, you said, Mark, there's 500 million children in Africa, and look at the opportunity we have. But I don't want to minimize the fact that there's children all over Central Illinois, West Central Indiana, children all over this country that we want to also challenge or encourage the great news media listeners to reach. So maybe in our closing minute or two, Bob, what are some things that we can do, tangibly do, outside of obviously praying for children, praying for the children, but how can we get involved, or what else can we do?
Well, one of the things we know we can do is there can be after-school clubs, after-school opportunities to meet with children. And so while in Africa they will have a whole school assembly, we know that that's not possible here. But it is possible to have those clubs after school, and if people can get involved in those. There's curriculum that's already been written by some good ministries that can be used. But if we can get a hold of these children now, this is the formative years. We know that George Barna did a survey a number of years ago, and by the age of 7, a child's personality is set. By the age of 13, their life values are set. Now, does it mean they can't change those values later on? No, the Holy Spirit can do anything.
Right.
But if we can get in these formative years when the foundation is being laid, oh, what a difference can be made.
Yeah. The communists have this saying, and they live by it, and they operate by it. They said, a child's heart is like wax, and it can be molded and shaped by anyone who knows what they're doing. Now, in November of 2022, when I was preparing our Thanksgiving dinner, I heard something come across the SRN news in the wee hours of the morning as I was up putting those finishing touches on my Thanksgiving dishes. And they said, the Satanists have won a great victory in California, and they named the specific city. And he said they wanted to have an after-school program for their satanic club for primary school kids, but they were denied, so they appealed it up to the higher court. And the court had ruled in their favor. And they said their goal is to teach critical thinking skills using a satanic worldview to primary school children. Mm. And that gripped my heart right there, Mark, again, because we've been doing this in Africa for the last 7 years, but now we're here in the U.S. this year sharing our story. Mm-hmm. And we feel like God has tapped our hearts to say, mobilize God's people right here in America to get into these schools. We can do an after-school program on any campus, any day of the week. Hmm. And if they'll just reach out to us, we're putting together an information packet. Here's the steps. 1, 2, 3. Here's how you do it at the primary school near you. If we just show up, Mark, and love kids and share a simple lesson, they could even use our 10-minute lessons. You want to just show up for an hour after school and play with kids and just interact with them and love them, be grandpa and grandma or aunt and uncle, and just love kids, share the word of God, and then pray over them. Send them out the door with a simple snack. I'm telling you, these children's lives will be touched forever. Their schools will be transformed. Their communities will be transformed. And I think we'll see an awakening sweep through in this rising generation.
You read that scripture at the beginning that said, when I send out my word, it doesn't come back void. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. Just before we left in October, I had a vice principal come to me. We'd been in this school now for 7 years. And she said, Bob, I think all of our children are Christians today. Now, this is a school of 700 children. Mm. And she said, I know that all of the staff are Christians. And it's because the gospel is in this school. All of our schools that we've been in, they have ranked way high. In fact, the principals tell us, when this program comes in, test scores go up, discipline problems go down. Mm. I've had teachers stop me in the store and say, Bob, we don't have any more discipline problems. And our children are achieving so much better. And we know it's directly related to the gospel that you're bringing to us.
And isn't it like God to use two Americans that didn't initially say have such a heart for children to use you in this unique and special way?
It's so humbling and honoring. Yeah, we love it. We get to do this, Mark.
Right.
Listening friends, find out more about this ministry that Bob and Barb are a part of by calling 515-724-1374. That's 515-724-1374. Well, thank you, Bob and Barb, for being a part of today's broadcast.
It's been
our pleasure.
Thank you so
much. Yeah, it's been our pleasure.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Bob and Barb Van Wyk with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.